This is Chapel for September 4th, 1963. The speaker for the day is Dr. McDowell.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the God of our Savior and friend, Jesus Christ, we bow before Thee in humble contrition and submission. We acknowledge that we are sinners saved by grace, and we pray that we may not forget that we are utterly dependent upon Thee for our salvation and for all that we are and hope to be. We confess our sins and our unworthiness to stand in Thy holy presence. Nevertheless, help us to rejoice that we are Thy children, and teach us that we are continually the recipients of Thy love and grace. Help us to live joyously and spontaneously as Thy children. Our Father, help us to realize our failures, our mistakes, our pride, our littleness, and give us the wisdom and the courage to overcome these evidences of our lack of maturity and growth in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Guide us to an acceptance of our own limitations, and grant to us the humility and the spiritual power to live lives of dedication and victory in spite of these limitations. As ministers of Jesus Christ, give us open minds, receptive to all truth, and especially make us eager to know the truth that is in Jesus. Keep us sensitive to the tragedy and suffering of our world. May we never be professional or indifferent or callous concerning the hurts and the pain of others. Help us to weep with those who weep and share with others the burdens that they bear. We ask even now Thy sustaining grace for any of our colleagues or fellow students who suffer or bear burdens that seem too heavy to be borne. Be near them and help them to know that we love them and pray for them. We pray for our world and for the preservation of peace among the peoples of the earth. May the rulers of the nations look to Thee for their guidance in order that they may not come to the horrors, that we may not come to the horrors of an annihilating war. May we, as members of a great denomination, recognize our responsibility not only for the winning of men everywhere to Christ, but our duty to stand for the freedom of men and women wherever they live upon this earth, or whatever race they may be, whatever the station in life they may occupy. In this confused and sinful world of which we are a part, O God, show us how we may stand for the right, give the best that we have to give, win souls to Jesus Christ, strengthen our churches, lift up the fallen, nurture Thy growing children, live lives that radiate the joy of dedicated service. To these ends, help us now to pray in sincerity the prayer we were taught by our Lord to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This is, frankly and without apology, an appeal to students, faculty, and all members of the seminary family to support our chapel services this year. There is every reason to hope for one of the best sessions of our history, and to believe that this optimism shall be reflected from the beginning of the session to its close in loyalty to our services of worship. You know, a chapel is like a thermometer. It registers the spiritual warmth of our seminary family. But I also like to think that it is like a glowing fire. That is to say, it warms our souls and helps them resist the chill of sin and darkness. I am speaking today as chairman of the chapel committee, which is charged with the responsibility of planning the chapel services. But I also speak as one of you, a member of the seminary family, and an ordinary worshiper. In this appeal, I hope I can do no better than share with you what chapel means to me. The contemplation of worship with you 4 days in the week in this beautiful sanctuary gives me joy. And I'm grateful that this is so. Our world is so filled with tension, tragedy, and sorrow that it is good to have this sanctuary of joy in which through worship we confront God in gladness and without fear. There is pure beauty in worship, and to experience beauty is to be glad in heart. The music of the organ, the singing of our choir, the hymns in which we join, these are a balm and a lift for tired hearts. And here we sense, as nowhere else, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Through His presence, the joy of Christ kindles our spirits. Never mind who the speaker is. Let me repeat that this year, please. Never mind who the speaker is. He may stimulate our minds or leave us unresponsive to His message. We have come to worship, and worship we will, whoever the speaker may be. To me, chapel means the expression of koinonia, our fellowship in Christ. We are a brotherhood. In our brotherhood, there are differences of viewpoint and opinion. But when we come to chapel, these pale in importance in the purifying light of the love we have for one another. Love based upon our common love for Christ. Worshiping our God in this chapel is the one thing we all do together. Here, for one brief half hour, we have a sense of oneness. This sense of oneness dulls the sharp edge of our differences in the ordinary relationships of our day-by-day walk. To me, worship in this beautiful chapel is a reaffirmation of my faith. My faith in God. My faith in Christ and the great spiritual realities. And my faith in the ideals of this seminary. To experience the unmistakable presence of God as we do in worship is to stimulate renewal of faith in God. To meditate upon the beauty of Christ and His meaning for us encourages greater faith in Him. To bring before our minds the superlative value of the great unseen spiritual realities is to help us know in our heart of hearts that they transcend in importance the material and earthly realities in the midst of which we live our daily lives. And to worship together as a seminary family helps us know that the ideals for which this seminary stands are worth reaffirming each working day. When, may I ask, have we had a more propitious time to reaffirm our faith in these ideals than in this new session, which has just begun? The second president of the seminary assumed his administrative responsibilities on August 1st and is to be formally inaugurated on the 17th of October. Having been the colleague of Dr. Binkley for 18 years, I think I can claim to know the mind and heart of our new leader. I have never seen or known of any blemish in his character. He was the unanimous choice of the faculty and of the Board of Trustees. A very extraordinary thing. In 1952, Dr. Binkley and I came here together from Louisville to cast our lot with the new seminary. We came with a common dream that was shared by a number of others, namely, that here on this old college campus would grow a seminary dedicated to the training of competent and faithful proclaimers of the unchangeable gospel of Jesus Christ. We visualized a seminary, as did others, which would be liberal and progressive in the truest sense of those words. But one which would be firmly based upon the eternal verities of the Christian faith and honest in its relations with Southern Baptists, to whom it owes its existence and from whom it receives its support. We visualized a seminary whose teachers teach unafraid in an environment of academic freedom, but academic freedom enjoyed with a sense of responsibility to our denomination. The ideals have not changed, and we of the seminary family can be glad that our new president has not changed in his devotion to them. It seems to me that a faithful chapel attendance this year affords us an opportunity to reaffirm our faith in these ideals as they are personified in our new leader. And may I add that I can say these things because I believe them, because Dr. Binkley had no knowledge of the fact that I would say them, and because there is no promotion for which I am eligible, and no preferment which I seek at the hands of the new administration. Come, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come early, that we may share in the music of our Max Smith, the music he makes at the organ. Come down front. That there may be no vacant wasteland between speaker and people. Come, join with Al Ben Johnson in the enjoyment of inspiring singing by the choir and the hymns of Zion by the congregation. Come, hear God's instruction from His Word. Come to pray. Come with expectant hearts. Come, knowing that you come to the house of God where there are no distinctions of race or class or station, where each one of us, stripped of his pride, meets God face to face and confesses his sins. Come, knowing that in this house of prayer, in the experience of worship, you will receive strength to face the responsibilities of life and all the uncertainties of the tomorrows. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us, we pray, to make this year a wonderful year. May we be faithful to our chapel services, to our God, to our seminary, to ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.